A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, Roy Field here with another new advertiser. Now, before you go and say that you need to fast forward, this one is important. Well, all advertisers are, because they help keep the lights on and pay our bills. But this advertiser is also extremely different, so please lend me your ears. As a good fan of the Archers, you're probably impressed with Jim's scholarly knowledge of the classics by authors like Homer and Cicero. And he does drop in the odd reference to Nietzsche and people like Spinola from time to time. Now, if you are, go to onlinegreatbooks.com. Online Great Books is designed to help you develop a regular habit of reading the great books. It has weekly reading goals, reading reminders, accountability tools, and a dedicated community of fellow readers that help you keep track and on schedule with your reading. In fact, as Jim would say, you can learn ad libitum. Every month they select and send you an edition of one of the great books directly to your home. They begin with Homer and progress through the works of Plato, Aristotle and Descartes, Shakespeare. You get the drill. It's all the great thinkers. It's right up Jim's alley. So if you're interested in developing a lifelong habit of reading and studying the great works, go to onlinegreatbooks.com/ROI and enter the promo code ROI to get a 25% discount off your first 3 months of learning. So it's bene cognita, as Jim would say.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Dumpty, 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 dum. Dumpty, dumpty, dum. Dumpty, 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 dum. Dumpty, diddly, dum. Dumpty diddly, dumpty diddly, dumpty diddly, dum. Dumpty, 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 dum. Dumpty diddly, dum.
This is Dumdy Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the happy homeless person that is Royfield Brown, and with me I have the crazed stalker that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Pat's kidnap attempt, folks, is you. And with us today, we are very honoured to have Anya, who plays Lexi, Annabelle, who plays Kirsty, and Becky. Is it an apparition? A ghostly apparition from the past who used to play the wonderful slapper kid Nick Grundy. This week's Dum-de-dum is from you all. It's from the collected voices of those who assembled at the live Dum-de-dum at the BBC Cafe. But Lucy, If somebody would like to speak, pipe in. And do a more conventional dum-de-dum. You know, one where maybe they're in their bedroom, maybe they're in their garden, maybe it's a sunny day in England, or maybe they're in New York, I don't know. And send in a dum-de-dum. How can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a dum-de-dum, leave us a plot prediction or invite a total stranger to share your house on the grounds that she's quite good with pigs, then call us on 0203 031 3105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups. And for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, and Shambridge is going to be here at about 8 o'clock. Woohoo! Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to Derek for loaning the back bedroom. Hey, to Derek. Derek is feeling very patriotic this week because of the royal wedding. He has hung a banner out of the back bedroom window saying, God bless Prince Harry and Mrs. Merkin. but he does wonder how she's going to combine her royal duties with being Chancellor of Germany.
Before the questions to our esteemed guests, it's the bit of the show which you have to, like, trudge through before Matt Corner. It's Lucy V. Freeman's week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Adam and Ian in the hot tub. The gay Grables won this time. They are never happier than when they're bobbing around in some sort of Legionnaire's disease soup, those two. No wonder Adam's little swimmers keep sinking. They're bloody waterlogged. They then bumped into Jenny at Gay Grables, who was there to rewind after her stressful week of her really busy... Well, anyway, she was there. And she said very kindly that she'd treat them to a fruit juice afterwards and a Kit Kat from the machine, and they were allowed to put the money in themselves. Oh, she does spoil those boys. Adam had the brilliant idea of asking his womb Airbnb landlady, Lexi, if she would pick a few strawberries for him while she was waiting to get up the clanger. It's better than the chicken factory, he said. Rubbing athlete's foot cream into Nigel Farage is probably better than the chicken factory, Adam, but it doesn't mean you should ask anyone to do it. It's all a bit droit de seigneur, isn't it? Before I impregnate the staff, I like them to do a little light gardening. Jenny, darling, thought it was a marvellous idea. And if she doesn't like it, you can beat her with a runner bean cane until she gives in, darling, she said brightly. Jake and Mia are suffering from nervous exhaustion after the constant round of activities William's got them on. It's like an extended Duke of Edinburgh award scheme. Up at 5, then we'll do a quick route march before breakfast. Clary and Ed are worried about it. Things are becoming legal. Every time anyone says the word solicitor, the Grundys echo it in horrified tones. Solicitor? Anyway, William said, I don't know where I would find such a solicitor. And Clary suddenly remembered Usha. I mean, she doesn't ever say anything, William, which is a bit of a drawback if you go to her for advice, but she's easy to find. If you tune into Radio 4 at 2:15, she's usually on the afternoon play. Adam, the paranoid android, seems to have had one of the memory lapses that are so common in Ambridge. Forgot that he had voted leave and was moaning about the lack of pickers. When I voted for something that meant we would significantly reduce the amount of people coming into the UK to work, I didn't realise that I would be significantly reducing the amount of people coming into the UK to do my work, he said plaintively. I think word has got out, Adam. Pavel's probably put it around Eastern Europe that if you're not trying to persuade young men into the polytunnel for a quick herbal lay, you're trying to get them pregnant. You're a bloody menace, man. Jenny, darling, is having a lovely time flouncing about sulking. 40 years of suppressed fury has come roaring out like that volcano in Hawaii. Brian's skulking around like a kicked sheepdog, and Jenny's banging doors like a teenager saying, quick, everyone, don't talk to Brian Aldridge, pass it on. Adam's still quite chipper. In fact, he's sounding cheerier than he has for months now he's got something genuine to sound depressed about. All he ordered is starting to sound like The Sopranos. The word family was used about 14 times last week. They're all on my side. We stick together. We're family. Mark my words, give it 2 weeks and Jenny, darling, will be wearing leopard skin mules and Brian and Adam will be wearing white vests and burying people in the woods. In further Sopranos news, Freddie, who with the benefit of his smart drugs can now tie his shoelaces, is engaged in a drugs war with Ellis. As a consequence, Johnny got hit on the head with a brick. He didn't notice. Isn't brain damage brilliant? Over at the stables, Shula is making a concerted effort to kill her brother by feeding him frozen kedgeree. Who freezes kedgeree? Poor old David was just delighted to be eating anything that wasn't cake or dyed bright orange and covered in breadcrumbs, so he just sat there and sucked the frozen bits of haddock until they thawed out. If any of you doubt the verisimilitude of the archers, wait for this. Harassment Burns, the man who can not only not find the bunting, he'd struggle to find his own arse with both hands, is being promoted. He's getting a car with pedals now rather than one of those push-along ones and a sheriff badge. Oh, Fallon is a lucky woman. Derek, have you just spat drink all over? Yes. Oh, good. It's Open Fart Sunday. Yes, I know that is a childish joke, but this is the most boring annual event in the grand roster of all the boring annual events in Ambridge. All that happens is that we hear 2 minutes of one of them banging on about something topical in their I'm an actor pretending to be uncomfortable with public speaking voice. And then I'd forgotten they were here. That's quite embarrassing. And then there's a lot of actors pretending to be the public in capital letters going, yes, 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 yes. Someone putting on a funny voice to ask a contentious question, a ripple of applause, then we all pack up and go home. The only interesting one was when a herd of cows got let out and trampled Pip to death. That didn't happen, but wouldn't it have been nice? Bridge Farm and Brookfield are having a joint open fart Sunday, thereby doubling the boredom for us all. Lady took a chunk out of Robert's Silmarillion. That'll be a long time healing. Alwyn has been seen, upside down in a skip, saying, "Oh, Jeremy Corbyn." Pat just won't get the message, will she? Unless Alwyn spray paints sod off Pat Archer on the bypass bridge, Pat is going to continue to traipse around after her like a toddler determined to pick up an elderly and furious cat. The thing is, Alwyn, I don't understand why you don't want to be more like me. I mean, who wouldn't? I have a commitment phobic son who has panic attacks when the conversation extends beyond meat products and live bacteria. A daughter who's obsessed with cheese and a husband who's having a passionate affair with his own tractor. I need you to want to be like me, otherwise it forces me to question the terrible choices I've made with my life. Now just lie still while I break your ankles, dirty birdie. The end. It's so much harder doing that when I can see you. It's much easier doing it when I can't.
Well, you know what?
What?
That was so much better than last week. I quite enjoyed that this week.
Thanks.
Now, before we talk to our assembled, you know, esteemed guests.
Yes.
Last week in Ambridge, what do you reckon?
I don't know where they're going with this Alwyn thing. I mean, how much longer could she keep running away and Pat keep going, please come back, please come back, please come back? Unless Pat is going to find out something terrible that Alwyn's wanted by the police or something.
I must admit, I haven't connected with it at all yet. So I'm kind of with you. Kind of with you.
You haven't connected with Alwyn? Well, she does sleep in our car.
Line.
Nobody would want to connect.
The whole storyline. That the setup has been a little bit tortuous and we've had absolutely zero payoff yet. Because you on no level do you sympathise with Alwyn. Is she a likeable, sympathetic character?
But you don't sympathise with Pat either because you just want to kill her most of the time. Do you?
Yeah.
You like Pat?
Yeah. What's wrong with Pat?
Who likes Pat?
Pat, fundamentally, she might be somewhat patronising, but fundamentally the character of Pat wants to do the right thing. And I think that people that want to do the right thing are fundamentally nice people. They don't always do the right thing, though.
It's the way she does it in such a patronising way.
But she feels guilty, though, doesn't she? She feels guilty about the fact that way back in the days of Greenock Common, she somewhat looked up to this woman. She was a firebrand. And then she has this now comfortable life and, you know, this £1 million for this bit of land. And then there is Alwyn, somebody who she looked up to ideologically, who now is sleeping in a car. So there's a certain amount of guilt and she feels that
she's
betrayed.
And she's running a shop where they sell butter for £7.90 or whatever it is.
Absolutely. Anything else in the last week in Ambridge? Drugs?
Thank you. Not now. What?
The drugs and the ute, Dem.
The ute. There are a lot of the ute at the moment in the Ambridge, isn't there?
Gone from one extreme to another.
Yeah.
It was
getting a bit geriatric.
Auntie
and
Cardboard and Peggy, and now it's all Johnny and Freddie.
You know smart drugs?
I've heard of them.
What are they?
Well, it's what people use to cram for universities, isn't it?
There's a great documentary on Netflix at the moment called, I can't remember what it's called, but it's about the kids in American high schools that are taking the drug that was designed for, well, ADHD, which everybody in America has now. And it keeps you up, basically, and focused on the task at hand. And so I'm assuming that's what a smart drug is. And I forget the name of it, but yeah, it's quite
Ritalin.
Thank you. It's quite an issue, I think, and they're all becoming addicted.
She's a voice from beyond the grave.
Hello.
Tap once for yes, twice for no. Well, there we are then.
There we go.
But Ritalin only works for 6 hours, so does Freddie just go back to being a prank again?
They just keep popping them, I think.
Okay. Blimey.
Mm. I know. And then you see the kids that actually have ADHD, and they're all desperately trying to get off these drugs because of the side effects.
And these idiots are going,
So
there you go. Educate, inform and entertain. Should we do the questions now?
We're not going to talk about Harrison and Fallon.
It was a bit of a... I'm not sure about... The first proposal was basically, will you sign this bank account form? Which was a bit unromantic. And then the next one was a denial that he'd ever... that she'd ever proposed to him. I mean, it's slightly offensive to him, really, that she's sort of so desperate not to be seen as somebody who's given in to marry him, I think. You're just jealous anyway, aren't you?
Now, gone off a long time ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Lexi's moved in into the village. But no, let's not embarrass myself any further. But what I will say, though, I need to give a bit of a shout out to somebody, because I am a little bit starstruck. All right, just before we go on to speaking to the actors here, because you know, it's voices, isn't it? We love voices. That's part of the reason why we're in love with this wonderful drama.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there's been a voice that I've been enamoured with for years.
Is it Derek?
No, Vicky Cole. I met her yesterday for the first time. She came all the way over from Kenya. She's on her way to Sri Lanka.
Not just to see you.
No, okay. No. She came over with her husband, who's basically James Bond. He works for the UN, and he does something incredibly dangerous. Now, do you remember that... remember about 10 years ago, there's all the Somali pirate stuff?
Yes.
It's not in the news anymore, is it?
No.
Right, because he sorted it out. That's
no
why they're in
way.
Kenya. That's Mr. Vicky
wow.
Cole. Yeah, so, yeah. So, it was really nice to meet her yesterday, and I met Catherine Rowan-Jones, and a lovely lady who does adult toys.
Okay.
Yes.
We're heading to Jolene territory, I think. Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But anyway, so we had a tiny little meetup yesterday. I just wanted to say hello and thank you for them for coming. And it was lovely to meet my lovely Vicky Cole after so long.
Whee!
Hey.
And also, Harriet Carmichael, who plays Shambridges, is here. And she's going to talk to us later about her new thing, which is called Glambridges. And Annabelle wants to hear you do her voice in front of her while she talks.
She's got a correction for you.
And she's, yes.
Notes.
There's a
seriously. You're too good.
Okay, should we crack on with the
questions?
Yes,
I think we should. Okay. How are we going to do this exactly?
So these questions have been submitted by our lovely studio audience.
Okay, so... this question is from Siobhan. Why hang around in a village where your ex-fiancé lives? I call that weird. Well, yes, Siobhan, it is totally weird. Why the hell would you go back there, having been jilted at the altar in front of the whole village and your best friends betrayed you? But, Siobhan, it's a drama. It's not real life. And I thank my lucky stars that it is, because otherwise I wouldn't be here. And let's face it, Kirsty's had the best storyline since she came back. She was pretty dull beforehand. And since she's come back, there's been tensions and conflicts.
And dead fish
and cold water and Philip and Tom and more Tom. So, I mean, of course she wouldn't. She'd be mad to. It'd be the worst thing possible. She's not related to anyone in the village. Why would you go back and have an interview for the health club? And especially since she did the worst interview ever and managed to get the job. But, you know, it's all about tensions between characters, and I'm glad there was quite a lot of them when she came back.
So this, you know, the raw swimming thing that you were doing,
yes,
when you had to keep getting your kit off and splooshing around?
Yes, well, someone's written a question here that says... Oh, you've got it. Oh, okay. So
Was that whole storyline just designed?
No. Julia Hansen quite rightly asks, when will you restart open water swimming?
I wouldn't go anywhere near that river at the moment.
It was a very random... Oh, there was I think there was a comment that Kirsty did on New Year's Day, but I wasn't in that episode. And then there was the whole... Yeah, and I actually quite enjoyed doing my cold water acting. I thought I sort of deserved a bit of an award for that one. I had a few comments about that episode. So I wouldn't mind doing a bit more of it. But yeah, I think it could become a weekly Sunday activity for Kirsty. I mean, I wouldn't be complaining about having more cold water, open water swimming episodes. But I've no idea is the answer.
So Annabelle.
Not sure, maybe next
Annabelle,
New Year's
you
Day.
Talked about tension. Which is the heart of any
tension,
kind of drama.
Yes.
Tension, conflict,
yes,
between characters. were we wrong to kind of say, so when you moved in with Roy, wasn't there a little bit of, you know, I'm not going to say tension, but there's a little bit of something, wasn't there? Or was it a little bit of redirect by the script writers?
Because there was, and actually, I remember they moved in together, so everyone thought, oh, yeah, Kirsty, Roy, going to get together. And we did have, there was a Valentine's Day where Roy got a card and Kirsty got a card, and Roy thought his was from Kirsty, and Kirsty was had this whole, oh my God, Roy thinks my his card's from me, it's not from me. But we never resolved who Kirsty's card was from. They just left that open. But I don't think so. But now I have to say, I think Kirsty and Roy are just really nice platonic friends. I don't think there is any tension there. But who knows? Things can change in Ambridge, Lexi. Just watch it.
There's just Roy and sexual tension. The two. It's just
not the same sentence.
No,
is it?
It's like sexual tension, dustpan and brush. It's just not happening.
He's got a spreadsheet.
He has got a spreadsheet.
Right.
Are we going to go around? Yeah. Oh,
okay. Hello. Hello. I had a question that was. It was on that one, wasn't it? From Beyond the Grave, from Jane. From Beyond the Grave. Where do you want to see Jake and Mia live? So who do you want Jake and Mia to live with? Right.
Bert Fry, I would say.
From the point of view of the character, I think she would want complete stability for her children. And because of the situation with Andrew before, which was, I think, discussed quite a lot off air, but not a lot on air, that there was a... that his behaviour early on in their relationship wasn't great, and that the kids had stayed with her. And I think with the way things had panned out, and with obviously my very sudden death, I think she'd want stability for them. I think she would want him to be involved, Andrew to be involved, and to see them and to have access and to be present in their lives. But Will was the man who took on the responsibility, and I think she'd want them to stay and those two men to actually kind of just deal with it and actually put their own feelings aside for the sake of those kids, who also have a half-sister in Poppy. So I think for Nick it would be about keeping things constant for her children, which is the, you know, I think that's what Nick would have wanted.
Becky did say earlier that having to work with the sound recording of Georgie was driving her absolutely bonkers. So
oh no, they used to play it on repeat over and over. When he was very small, just to wind me up, and I'd be like, you know, on the cusp. But yeah, no, the sound recording wasn't great. So I hope when they bring the young man in, I'm sure he'll be lovely. But the constant moaning. Oh God. Anyway, that was the answer to that one.
I know we talked about this a couple of months ago on the Dum Dee Dum Extra.
Yeah.
But I think I should ask you the question again for people that haven't signed up for the extra Dum Dee Dum content. But how did you feel when you got the storyline that you were going to be written out, you know, as an actor, you know, forget you as the character, yeah. You know, how do you deal with that?
Well, you just kind of, you get the call, and of course it's really gutting, and you kind of go, it's part of your life. It's been something that's been, you know, it's been 11 years of my life off and on, and I've been part of a very big company for a long time. So, of course, you're sad to let it go. But when they talked about the storyline and how it was going to pan out, and then you start to think about the possible repercussions, and then in researching it and also talking to people about it, it's a double-edged sword. Because you go, what a great storyline. What an amazing, you know, what an amazing cause to raise awareness for, which is really not very well known about, and I will bang on later about it. But to be trusted with it, and to be trusted to do it on air, for somebody to say, for a show like The Archers, we trust you to deliver this with authenticity and reality, and this will matter in a way. And to have that platform, I think, is quite amazing in your career. And so for that, I'm very grateful. But also very sad to leave. So, you know, both. But yeah, I'd be very naive if I thought that my job was going to last forever. So on that case, I was saying to the guys before, I was...
Peggy's last forever.
Huh?
Peggy's last forever.
That's true, but she's immortal and part robot. Joking. No. The other thing is my arrival in Ambridge is very surprising. I was only supposed to, my character was only supposed to be in for a couple of months, I was told at the beginning. So as surprising as my arrival was, so was my departure, is what I'd say. So thank you to everybody, and thank you for listening. And Thank you for engaging and caring about Nick the way people have. So, you know, I hope I made it real for you. That's all.
How about you, Anya? I have a question for you, for our Lexi.
Okay, the first question is from Steve Smith, and he says, why? Just why? And then in brackets, are you doing it? I'm assuming you're talking about the surrogacy.
No, this show, I think.
Well, you never know with the Archers fans. There's numerous reasons. I think we discussed this a bit, didn't mm-hmm. we, when we did an interview.
Yeah.
When this came as a surprise to me, I mean, I think to everyone on the show, like, what? Really? Okay. And then I sort of had to sit and think about why women become surrogates for other people. So I looked it up, and there are unbelievable stories of women who just feel this sort of huge empathy towards couples that can't have children. That may not be the only reason, because you don't get paid for it. It's illegal to get paid for it. I think Lexi's getting expenses only. And fed by Jenny. Loads. Fattened up. There was an episode where I think Lexi was talking about, I really want to see you happy. I know how much this means to you. You know, she befriended Ian first, I think. And I can only... We still don't know where it's going, by the way, do we? I mean, yeah. She didn't get pregnant the first Ooh. Time. She could change her mind. I can only think that it's as much for them as for her, and potentially maybe bringing her children over or and being able to stay somewhere with someone that she's found and loves. I know you all find that weird. That there's a Roy question in here somewhere. So I think that, you know, those are sort of the reasons why at this point, and she really wants to help people. I know that also annoys people. Some of the tweeters are like, oh my God, Saint Lexi. But, you know, that's what she's chosen. I find it unbelievable because I'm not particularly a girl that wants children, a woman that wants children. Not that I don't like children, I love them, they're just not for me. But I had to look at it, and they're women that exist that will do this for others purely because they really want to help other people. Mm.
When you came on to the Archers, mm-hmm. right, there was a certain amount of speculation about your accent, right? And you were somewhat combative with people online.
Yes.
So I think you have to tell the assembled dum-de-dummers exactly what your origin story is, what your superhero story is, and the reason why actually the accent that you're given is actually quite authentic.
Well, I'm not Bulgarian, but my family are Polish. I'm first generation English. So both my parents were born... Well, my mum was actually born in a German refugee camp after the war. And her family were Polish. Her father was in Dachau. And my father came over here when he was 21. So they're fully, fully Eastern European. I grew up... My first language was Polish. Went to Polish school in Willesden Green. So that's my Eastern European background. Now, when the Archers contacted me about playing a Bulgarian, the biggest debate was how far do we go with an accent? Because if you listen to the woman that I based the accent on, I mean, I remember when Hugh was editor at the time, and there was no, we were like, well, no one would understand me if I went that far. With either people like, what? Because she's been here 10 years. She had, and the reason I chose her was because she had English speaking lessons with her friend.
Yeah.
And that's how she's learned. But her accent is really strong, and I don't think you can please anyone, and everyone rather.
Because obviously a character like Lexi, you came in. I mean, my husband's Spanish. He's been here for 10 years, and Lexi speaks better English than he did. She spoke better English than my husband does after 2 weeks of lessons with Kirsty.
Drama.
No offence to my husband. But the thing is, if you're going to be a regular character, you can't have someone speaking horrendous English the whole time. You just couldn't listen to it. So that they suddenly give Lexi the most amazing vocabulary and grammar, but with the strongest accent. But it works. That's the way it's got to be now.
Yeah. So, and I think, listen, I heard in the green room that even actors that are genuinely from the places... they're from
don't.
Oh, yeah, no, we all
they've
it.
All been ribbed.
Yeah, no, we all. Yeah.
Even though they are genuinely northern, or so. I don't think you're ever gonna, no matter what you do, whether you're.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yeah, exactly. So I do my best. I keep listening to this woman. If I rolled my R's like her, Kerry Warbis would absolutely just stop listening altogether. I know she finds my R's horrendous, but I could. I'll set. I can tweet
the
link.
I quite like your
R's
actually.
It's hardcore, but you know, you learn to, it's tough at the beginning because you want the fans to sort of take you in and not, you know.
Yeah, but we hate everybody when they're new.
I know, but that's
everyone's new.
But,
like,
I had to learn that.
And then after 3 weeks, we hate because I go,
But I had to learn that, and it's part of the beauty of you guys. And I mean, the tweet along has me in stitches. And you know, sometimes, I mean, we were laughing during your speech, and we know we maybe shouldn't be laughing because,
I had death threats when I started as Nick.
You did not.
Yeah, I'd be right online on the old mustard lamp board and stuff. I used to get, like, people wanted to kill me because they hated me so much.
Oh my word.
But you get, like, crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
people get
insane.
Very kind of like, and it is, it happens to everybody, I think everybody who comes into the show. You do get a lot of flack because it's change, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's something new and it's something disruptive.
Becky,
and stuff.
Dum-dum is a safe space. Is it? No crazy. I stopped all the crazies at the front door.
Hi, my name's Becky and I used to be in the Archers. Can I have a donut?
You got another question there, Annabelle?
I have. Christine Armstrong says, when Tom jilted you at the altar, were you afraid of being permanently written out? And the answer is yes, I was. It was all very weird because myself and the old Tom, who was Tom, called Tom in real life, you know, it went on for so long, the whole wedding prep and all the episodes up to the wedding. And we used to chat and be asking the directors in the studio, oh, where are we going to live? And where are Tom and Kirsty going to go on their honeymoon? And people would just go bright red and start going, and we thought something weird's going on here. Something weird is going on. And I remember we went out for a drink one night and I said, I don't think this wedding's going to happen. It's not going to happen. That nobody's looking at, the people can't look me in the eye. No one's talking about what's going to happen. And I said, I think they're going to kill Kirsty off. I think something's going to happen, or she's going to, I don't know, she's going to have an accident on the way to the wedding or something. And then we got the phone call telling us it wasn't going to happen. And the first thing we were told was that it's going to be an amazing week. It's all going to be about you. You're going to lead the story. But then you won't be heard for at least 6 months.
Yeah, I got that and I died.
Oh, God.
And we were both told this. And I was told, well, the intention is to bring Kirsty back. But you just never know. So, you know, I did my big wedding week, big wailing wedding week, and then that was it. And fortunately, I was brought back. But yeah, I thought, you know, no reason to bring her back. So yeah, it was a bit of a funny one. But I just thought, you know, like Nick said, like Becky said, you don't know. You know, we're used to doing jobs, acting jobs that can last 1 day, 2 days, a 2 month theatre job. So, you know, it's a real luxury to be in something as long as this. So again, I sort of thought if it was my time to go, at least I'd gone out on a big storyline, you know.
You just didn't go out for milk.
I just
and never
didn't.
Come
I'm sorry.
Back,
like, I hear. Yeah.
Okay, this has been asked twice, which is slightly disturbing. If the writers gave you carte blanche to kill off any of the characters, who would you choose and why? Well, I had a theory about Nick. It's probably not the answer people are going for. But I used to think that sometimes Nick sailed really close to the edge, that one day she might actually snap. And certainly in my final scenes with Emma and the bull, me and Emerald sat down and just went, should we just go for it? Should we just like have a proper fishwifey Barney? And we did. And I always had this theory that Nick was really sometimes pushed really to her limits by people who were judging her, and I think she came from quite a broken background and had some real emotional damage as a kid. So probably I'd be there, get the guns out and kill them all. No!
I'd like to change places.
And I've come to support group, please. I've come for emotional support.
Well, you almost did Matt Crawford anyway, almost.
Yeah, almost.
Almost.
You just backed up again.
Not quite. Should have reversed home.
Anya?
Okay, this one is from Dusty Substances.
Who's over
great
there?
Names. Lexi, Best technique, Roy or the turkey baster?
That's genius.
I would probably say as Lexi, the turkey baster. Because at least she can control that herself. That's the answer to that one. There's questions on there's. I've got some more Lexi ones. Lexi, we love hearing about your cooking, but what is your favourite English dish? And can it be cooked in a caravan? Ooh. I thought Lexi, and I thought there was only sex in a caravan.
What is it? Banitsa?
Banitsa. Yes. Yeah.
And what is banitsa?
It's like a. There's variations of it. So it's like a sort of a pastry that can be filled with various things. I think the traditional way is actually with cheese. But if certainly where I'm from in Poland, very much lots of desserts are filled with cheese and, you know, sweet things as well. So, yeah, it has to be baked. But my favourite... But Lexi's favourite English dish? Probably a good old roast. Good old roast beef or roast chicken, any of the roasts, lamb, yeah, mint, a bit of mint. I'm not sure that can be cooked in a caravan. Dish, yeah, this is my favourite dish, yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure it could be cooked in a caravan, no.
I know you can't tell us, but...
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to ask you anyway, so you can tell me that you can't tell me. Are we ever going to meet Violetta and the other one?
Oh, God, I don't know. I actually don't know. I hope so, but I mean, wouldn't that get them going with the accents? Two teenage kids putting on Bulgarian accents. Yes. I think we'd probably have to hire the real deal for that, wouldn't we? Like the very real deal. Mm. The absolute, let's get him on a plane over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, we could be in trouble. I hope so. I hope so, yeah. And then then 2 years' time, they'll go off to university anyway, so...
I don't know how old you are in real life.
Guess.
But you are a lot younger. You are a lot younger than Lexi sounds.
Oh, really?
I think, yeah.
Do
and
I not sound
you
similar?
You don't look as if you could have two teenage children.
I'm 39.
No.
So I could have two teenage children, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm 40 next year.
I'm 40.
Yeah. Yeah, see, look.
Yeah,
I'm
I am.
Really old.
Nick was 37, I'm 40. So, but sounding like a 12-year-old. All that time.
Do you know what's weird? The lady that's playing your mum.
Beverly, yeah.
Yeah, she does your voice really well.
Yeah, yes. She does. She's good, isn't she?
It's amazing. Albin.
She's from the Midlands. We're all from the Midlands, so... yeah, Nick's accent was very loosely based in the East Midlands, so around Nottingham, but very light. But somebody sort of moved around. So that's why you've got the int it, don't it, won't it, and all that. So, yeah. But no, I think Alison Elvin's doing a fab job. Really good job.
Yeah. Sorry, you again.
Miss Dowler.
Okay. I'm going to combine two. Okay, so Dusty's back, Dusty Substances, with Philip, really, will you, have you, again? And then also Bev Markham says... How would you like the romance with Philip to develop? Well, I definitely think they have, and I think they will do again. But I don't know. I mean, we don't really know enough about Philip and Kirsty yet. Clearly, I don't want it to all be plain sailing. I like the idea secretly, though I've not planted this with any of the writers yet. But we know that Philip has a son. And Philip is quite a lot older than Kirsty. So by my calculations, Philip's son might just be a little bit of a sexy toy boy coming Kirsty Miller's way. I don't know. I thought that could be interesting. Let's set up a nice little triangle there. See what happens. I've got to throw something into the Philip Kirsty bird watching hive. It's my real life fantasy. I'm married with two children. I need some excitement for my alter ego.
It's all right. Royfield could put you in touch with somebody who's making,
adult
sex toys.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah. I don't know if it's turkey bases, but it's definitely saucy toys. Saucy
well, there
adult
you go.
Toys.
Salty, you know, maybe Philip needs a bit of that, you know, to offer. I don't know. I mean, you know what do people think of Philip?
I get the impression that Philip can, like, handle himself in the bedroom department. He seems quite self-assured.
Well, he's experienced.
Unlike most men in Ambridge.
It's usually the self-assured ones that
he's
are
confident.
Rubbish, aren't they? It's the quiet ones you've got to watch for.
Yeah.
Huh, all right. That's my theory, anyway.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think she's fallen in love with him yet. Let's put it that way.
So interesting, you know, when we go around the table and we ask specifically, like you, Anya, and then you, Annabelle, specifically about future storylines. You don't know.
No.
You know, you're as much in the dark as us. So.
And the writers don't know a lot of the time. They just like to hear things pan out a bit.
So just give the audience an idea of, you know, when do you actually get a script? So I know you have like an outline of what the character is when you come in, but then when do you get a specific script and then when do you deliver that? What is the time?
Well, I didn't even really get an outline. I was just told you're Tom Archer's new girlfriend. You've been mentioned a few times, but you've never been on air. And that was it. There was no sort of characteristics or personality description. So you just sort of go with what you've got. Then you make it your own. And I suppose it's inevitable that you add bits of your own personality, or you try and you see a little sign of something and try and push that. So I suppose I tried to make Kirsty a bit feistier, otherwise it all just gets a little bit.
And we only get the scripts maybe 3 days before we start recording a block.
So I'm recording really next Sunday, which is the first day of the next block, and I still haven't got my scripts. Sunday, where are we? Monday. So I'm recording on Sunday, so I'll probably get the scripts on Thursday.
So we have no idea.
No idea. So you don't. It's all, you're very much kept in the dark, and you try and squeeze a bit of information out of some of the directors while you're up there. But a lot of them are freelance, and they only know the scripts they're actually directing that week. So people keep things very close to their chest.
Becky, how much notice did you have that you were dying?
I found out in November, but I didn't again get my scripts. I was recording in Nick's Death was recorded in January. I got my scripts in, you know, a few days before I recorded them. And some of the directors didn't know. So people I've worked with for years and different things, I was getting text messages with them getting their scripts going, Bex, what's going on?
Why am I at your funeral?
There is a lot of that. And we genuinely don't know. We have ideas. Sometimes you'll get maybe a tiny tidbit of where something's going, but often none of us know the full story. And certainly lots of the cast didn't know. I mean, I saw Annabelle the week I was dying and she had no idea what was going on.
We don't see each other all the time, and you don't get given
the scripts you're in, so you don't even get a sort of summary of the month's events. You know nothing.
You're like, wait, what's going on with you? And then I didn't I didn't even know Lexi. It hadn't worked the first time, the surrogacy, because I wasn't in the episode where they said. So I was going in and recording, going, oh, I wonder whether she'll get pregnant or not. And I was like, oh, no. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's the first attempt's failed. So I didn't even know that. I was like, they all knew and I didn't. I was happily going along like it was all going
to
happen.
But you get told enough that you can relate to the character that you're talking to.
Well, you have to ask questions.
Sometimes we'll get something and some reference will be made to something you've said. And you won't necessarily know what it is. So we'll have to contextualise sometimes. I'm like, oh, is that about such and such that said this? Oh, no, because often we're mentioned a lot when we're not there.
So
things will happen and you will have said or done something your character hasn't actually had lines for. So you will have had an opinion. You just don't know that you have by the time. And in that lag time between broadcast and then recording, if it's in those weeks, we have to kind of go, why am I angry about potatoes? That's how it works.
It's just made me realise how much, as listeners, how much subtext we put into all the when we think, oh, well, she said that because of it. And they have no idea. So this is all.
Not necessarily, because I think they have the producers have some sort of idea of where certain things are heading. So it's not necessarily that your subtext is wrong. You might be on inklings, you know.
Do you ever listen to our plot predictions or read the Twitter feed?
Sometimes. I read the Twitter feed all the time.
And think, oh, they've got that right, or ooh.
No,
or that's
I wish that would happen. Yes, I read, and more that. Like, oh, I didn't think of that. That would be good. Or, oh, God, no, I hope that doesn't. You know, I'm totally like that. But some of the ideas are brilliant. And then some of them do, happen.
I do think 1 week a year they should let the listeners write the plot.
Do you know what? I agree. I think it would be hilarious.
Shula would be dead.
Although, I was just going to say you'd have to have saying you're not allowed to kill anyone.
Do you like The Purge, Ambridge edition? Yeah. You have 24 hours. Yes. All crimes are legal.
Have you got another question over there, Becky?
Yeah, it's a really simple one with a really, really short answer. This is from Julia. Nick, should Will be teaching Jake to use a gun? No.
Okay, I've got one from Asha, Magic at Mungo's. Roy is a very safe option. Did Lexi start seeing him because there was a spark or because he was there? Will the surrogacy impact them? Any chance of her girls coming over? Okay, so we've talked about the girls.
Yeah.
I don't know is the answer. There is a chance, of course. I hope so. I think the surrogacy will impact Roy. I mean, it's impacted him already massively, rightly so. The way Lexi's carrying on, I'm sure she'll just sort of gloss over it and be like, no, it's all fine, it's all great. And did Lexi start seeing him because there was a spark or because he was there? I think it was because there was a spark. I don't think he's the only man in Ambridge, is he?
Kirsty, because Kirsty orchestrated it
yes,
all.
Yes, Kirsty did orchestrate it.
Down to Kirsty.
Yeah, so actually maybe the questions to be always that are directed to Lexi. Why are you with Roy? Should be directed to...
Yes, it's your fault.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, but she goes, well, Kirsty was the one who knew Lexi most, and I think she just thought they'd be good together.
Yeah.
She's had enough of the Roy spreadsheet. I know. Direct action needs to happen now.
I know. So I think it's because there was a spark. There was definitely some lovely episodes at the beginning where they were really sparking. We got some
in
lovely...
In the caravan. With Jennifer.
Well, with no trousers on. Yeah. That was funny. Yeah.
I'm sure
yeah.
the sparks went from propane.
But yeah, no, we got some really good feedback from those early episodes at the airport, you know, all that drama and romance. And so, yeah, I think she'd have to see something in him.
Even though the rest of us find
no,
it.
No, I know.
I like Roy. I don't know if you're proper with him.
But it's like everyone goes on about, like, really... That goes for Jenny in the and I love Jenny. I think she's brilliant. I just love her.
I think there's a lot of listeners want to be Jenny. Without the infidelity from the husband, but you know.
Jealous of jelly times. Jelly Jenny.
Hashtag jealous of Jenny. She's got some corkers. Corkers. Love her.
Repeat, there's something sinister about an avocado in December. Apparently one of Jenny's classic lines.
That's quite sexy. The way you said it.
Horny.
Annabelle, have you got another question? Are you done?
One question here from Julia Hansen. Do you envisage ever having to repeat that gut-wrenching scream from the wedding scene? No, I do not. I actually think it gave me a polyp, and I joke you not. Seriously, I had a polyp. I was going to have surgery. I seriously was. Because I got the script and it said she lets out an animalistic wail.
Is this when she was jilted?
When she was jilted, yeah. And it's not the sort of thing you can rehearse at home with two kids and neighbours through you know, a very thin adjoining wall. So
this
I just
Dowlers at it again.
Oh, I know. So I just sort of had to go for it. And, you know, it's not when you're doing an animalistic wail, you're not really thinking of your diaphragm and all that. And I had to do loads of times and loads of wild tracks. It was like, oh, I can't do it now, I can't repeat it. But I did probably years of doing theatre and drinking in the bar after doing shows as well had caused this polyp. But I think the animalistic wail sort of made it a bit bigger. I don't know. I seriously, anyway, it's sort of gone now. But it did make my voice really husky afterwards.
How many takes did you have to do of that scream?
Well, I did about 7 of the.
Really?
Well, I did what? Like, we did the scene twice with the scream on it, and then I had to do 7 of just the wail because they had to mix it in with Eddie and Joe in the congregation, you know.
What are you going to do now then? Yeah. Well, isn't it?
Where are we going to get our dinner now or something like that? I don't know. So I don't want to have to do that again. But Roy Field has reminded me of it by mixing it in some terrible music track he did. It's actually the most awful.
No,
Roy
proud Field of that. It
was the most terrible fine thing I've heard. Roy Field mixed Kirsty's scream combined with some of the lines. But he's well, I don't know how to describe it, Roy Field. I don't know what you did,
well,
but.
What I was going for really was like a 1990 black box kind of like vibe.
Wow,
you know, and Jesus. it was
Set
so
people running for their lives.
I really want to hear this.
Oh, Lovely, laser.
Yeah, we'll dig it up.
There's a lot of skill involved in mixing it, but it's not what I would have chosen.
Oh my god, this could be the new theme tune.
Can you do a dubstep version?
Yeah, actually, the first one actually was.
Was it?
The first one actually was. It was this dark, and it was called Joe and Eddie Misses Their Dinner dubstep version, or something really silly. And it was incredibly dark, but it was too apt. So basically putting it with some happy house, crappy music with the guttural wail. When we first met each other at the Dum-Dum Awards, and you went, "You're the guy that did that," and whatever, and the look on your eyes and stuff, it was lovely and stuff. So yeah. We had a moment.
Is it available on cassette?
Did. It's available on download on SoundCloud. Okay. But I'll give you the link. It's on my mixtape. Anyway, have you got a question?
Can I get repeat fees for that? Okay. This slightly loaded question.
Uh-huh.
It's from Eileen. If you could come back to life, would you stay married to the dreadful Will? Kind of know what you think. As Nick, of course she's going to stay married to him. He's her stability and things, but I do understand from the outside how sometimes just go, why? Why does she stay? But no, of course she would. He's been really good to her. And she, for that, for Nick, he's a great, great source of stability. And I think sometimes outside, as we know, you look at your mate's relationships, you look at other people's relationships, and you don't understand them, but for them, it worked. So of course she'd stay with him.
Would she be twiddling in her grave at the idea of Will and Emma getting back together?
I think that's always been a bone of contention. I think that's quite real, actually, and that was something we spoke about. I mean, Emerald used to talk about quite a lot, was Nick second best? Mm. And I think in some ways, I think she felt she was, and Emma at times certainly treated her that way. And I don't think she deserved that. But I think Nick and Will's relationship was one that became steadier and gave that woman things that she couldn't get anywhere else and that she desperately needed. And I know I've said in other interviews, I think Nick came from quite a broken background and was lacking in self-esteem, was quite abused in some ways, and was somebody who just wanted to be liked and wanted a good life and wanted things better for her kids than she ever had for herself. And I think sometimes that was misunderstood, and she was clumsy and sometimes too sweet and saccharine, but she was trying so hard all the time. And I think underneath that, I think sometimes, you know, there was that streak that came out and that temper because she was damaged and because it would just bubble to the surface every now and again, and you just get that, you know, that real street survival streak, I think, that was underneath everything. And I think there was that survival instinct.
You definitely saw that in the argument in the bull, didn't you?
She'd been ground down for such a... That wasn't just about the bull. It wasn't about what had happened. That was years of just taking it. Mm.
So as an actor, which scene was more challenging or more satisfying, maybe is a better question. You dying with Joe, and you know, and the poignancy that you had to put into that, or just letting rip and having that all on Barney.
Because also we were quite careful, because at that time, of course, we knew Nick was dying. Well, some people did. And of course, and I was asked, I think it was by Royfield, actually, but I asked another interview as well, you know, was there anything you changed knowing that you were going to die? And I think the only thing that we really decided was, I think I wouldn't have put my foot quite as hard on the gas in that argument. I think because it was the last one, I wanted it to be a good one, just for all of the things that Emma had ever said, when Nick just went, okay, fine. Yeah, great. The final scenes were horrific to record, because you're trying to make it real. And actually, the final scene that actually went to air is actually quite heavily edited. The original was much longer. And Julie Beckett, who directed it, said we cut it because none of us could listen to it. And it was all, and we had to do it a number of times, because you have to, for various reasons, a number of times to get the right sounds. And, you know, personally, it's also, you can't have your personal feelings involved. Of course, you know, it's your last day, whatever. But, you know, I was emulating the research that you do, trying to make it real. And also, it brings back memories of times when you've been with somebody, when you've been there in somebody's final moments, and you are, you know, and you're carrying the stories for lots of people who genuinely have been in those circumstances. Who've, you know, my experience was with sepsis.
but thousands of people's art, you know, people have had that experience in real life, and you have to try and do justice to it, and you have to make it real as you can, because otherwise you don't serve those people, and you don't do it justice for them, and that would be an awful thing to do. So it was nerve-wracking and it was sad, but also you want to do a good job for those people for whom it's not a fiction, and it's very real.
Do you want to tell us about your walk that you're doing?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Because of what happened with Nick, and also lots and lots of people have written their real genuine stories online. I've also been in contact with the Sepsis Trust. And it turns out that there are a number of people who listen to the broadcast on the Today Show and also to Nick's story who have been directly affected and have taken action on that basis and have sought help. And people have survived because of what happened. I can't go into specific details because it's anonymous, but I was told that it has genuinely made a difference, and I feel it's the right thing to do is to carry on with that. So in conjunction with the Sepsis Trust, I'm walking 50 kilometres on the Thames Path Challenge for the Sepsis Trust in September with a midwife from King's College who also deals with traumatic birth and has been engaged with lots of women and treated lots of women with sepsis. So I brought a lot of cards with me today. It's got my fundraising page on. There'll be lots of information online. If you want to join me, or if you want to come and say hello on the day, I'll show you my route. Come along, have a chat, bring me a banana because I'll need it. But I am walking 50K for the Sepsis Trust in September because it's a small charity and people don't know. I knew what sepsis was. I did not know how quickly it can kill you. So your support would be massively appreciated. Thank you.
All right, and I think we have another one for our Anya, for our Lexi.
Jojo Sexy Heels. I want to see your sexy heels. Ah, hi.
Sexy heels.
Ow. Do you think you will be the nanny for the Grundy children? Or do you think there would be fireworks regarding child rearing, especially with Jake, who would clearly have a crush on you? Oh, God, I'd love to see her as the nanny, actually. Yeah, I think there
should
be...
And the Rocks of Cradle. Really,
yeah. It's a great idea. I think we need some fireworks there.
Yeah.
For
yeah,
sure.
You'd be doing it wrong in Emma's eyes all the time.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Oh.
And I'm not there to protect
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I'm liking this. I might keep this question and just hand it to them when I go out there next.
Slip it under.
I don't know whether it will, but it's a brilliant idea. So I think we need to maybe get away from the surrogacy for a bit and do something else.
Yes.
Derek, I believe the question was posed to you, sir.
That's true. The question from Rob from Southgate to Derek says, is Will Grundy human? Now, if I've been asked this a while, until recently, obviously the answer is no. But a few weeks ago, I had the great fortune to sit in on a day's recording of The Archers, and Will was one of the actors playing. There was something about seeing Philip act Will and the way he moved while he was playing his part completely changed how I saw the character. He came across as vulnerable and human, and I see him completely differently as a result of seeing him play the part. It was really strange. It was the time... So Nick died. The episode's been broadcast now, so I can talk about it. Alison Steadman has... I think it was Alison Steadman's first episode... and so she was in it and lots of others are in it. But there's something about the way that he moves while he's playing his part with his script in hand that just made me see him in a different way. There was a bit, he came through a door carrying boxes where he'd been shopping to get games. And there was something about Clary's going to make special pizza. But he just seemed really vulnerable, and I really connected with him in a way that I hadn't just from hearing him on the radio.
Crumbs. Is that the first time in 223 episodes you actually heard the voice of Derek?
It is, and it's the first time ever Derek Fletcher has genuinely spoken.
Yes.
It's very exciting.
That was all pretty good stuff, wasn't it?
It was. Can we get Harriet up here as well? Because she needs to talk about Glambridge's. And anyway, I want you to do it in Annabelle's voice.
Does everybody know Harriet and Glambridge? Yes? No?
Well, for those that don't, because I did see somebody shake their head, Harriet does a parody version of The Archers called Sandbridges, because she has...
Not Sandwiches, Shambridges.
Can we call it Sandwiches now?
Harriet,
absolutely brilliant.
So good.
She absolutely is.
So
she...
Unbelievable. I'm just going to say this, because she's going to be... I'm not a real Twitter person, but whenever I see that you tweeted your latest one, I listen, because the amount of female voices in The Archers and the amount that you managed to do, so amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Really, you all need to listen to her if you don't already.
Agreed. Thank you. That's very kind. Thank you.
We've got to get close.
Just thank you very much. And it's been really interesting listening to all that. I was fascinated. So thank you, that's brilliant. Shall I quickly mention...
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Plug away.
Well, for those of you who are kind enough to listen to my Shambridge stuff, and I'm very, very grateful for all the listens and the retweets, and honestly, I wouldn't do it without those. So thank you very, very much. Just quickly, this weekend, I've got a very talented friend called Naomi McDonald, who you might have...
I know her.
Yeah, of course you do.
I know her.
Isn't she brilliant?
She's brilliant.
She's amazing.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so we've been writing some stuff together, and I eventually got her round and we recorded a thing called Glambridge, which is a tale of celebrity folk in a fictional village called Glambridge. And it's just a little taster, but we'd be really grateful for any listens or shares, just because it's something that we're experimenting with at the moment. So any... listens would go down very well.
I'll tell you what we'll
Derek.
Do. Last week, I put on one of my other podcasts on the feed just for a couple of days, and I was going to do one of Lucy's walkie-talkies next week, but we'll do a Glambridge as well.
Oh, thanks.
So all the dum-de-dum listeners can actually listen, and then we'll say to them very clearly...
You might want to listen to it first.
Is it sweary?
And we'll just tell everybody where they can download it.
Yes, it's sexy.
But before you go, you have to do the three actors around the table.
Oh, yes! So embarrassing, because it's like Lucy said, when you're doing it in your own
you can't see
them.
Do it now.
No, it's just
do
really
it now.
Easy.
Do it now.
Okay, well, hang on. When I'm kind of channeling Kirsty, I have to shut my eyes and say sausages and Tom. You know, because she, I just sort of make it a bit lower, and the intonation is a bit different, obviously. But I found Kirsty really hard to do at first, and then I...
It's not as good as when I do it on my own.
But with her sitting next to me, it's a little bit embarrassing. But I love doing Kirsty because she's feisty and, you know, she loves talking about Tom. And but I know she's got a few notes for me. So.
Go on. What am I doing wrong?
No, do you want me to say? Yes. No, because when my friends have tried to imitate me in the past, they always sort of go, oh, I'm Annabelle Dowler. And I say, no, I'm not Scouse. I'm from Formby, not Liverpool. And you get it so right because you don't do it really Scouse. But I've realised that I do this thing, and I've only realised from listening to you where I overemphasise every word I'm saying. And that is what you get so well. The only thing, and I've heard, and if you get this, then you've got me totally, is that being from the outskirts of Liverpool, I never said, like, up, mum. I actually, because my parents didn't have a Scouse accent, used to say up and mum, and then sort of got the piss taken out of me at school. So I tried to sound a bit more Liverpool, but could never quite go in the playground, my mum says. So I ended up sort of going, my mum says. So I do this really weird sound where I don't go mum, and I don't go mum, I go mum, and I say money. And that's why often I get asked actually if I'm Welsh, because I do that sort of money, mum thing. But that's the thing. So Kirsty actually doesn't say love ever. She says love. Love. But honestly, the intonation has never been got so good.
I love the notes.
Can you, you
one
can't
down,
do Lexi.
One down,
you?
Two
she's
to go.
Lexi really well.
I did Lexi once.
Yes,
and I just
and I
did,
heard it and it was
well,
brilliant.
Yes,
yeah.
I just did a generic Eastern European. what did I say? Well, obviously, because you
have quite a low voice as well. And Roy, I just think it was, how do you say, sausages? And, okay, no, I can't do that. I think I just did a very generic kind of thing and rolled my R's a bit. And
No, I don't want to do Lexi.
Do Nick. Come on, you're good at Nick.
And Nick, what was I saying to get Nick?
There's no point in giving you notes, is there?
No, well, the thing is, I know Becky anyway, and I know she doesn't really sound as much like Nick as Nick does. What was I saying for Nick? It was just, you know, it's sort of a bit like, you know, she's quite softly spoken, and it was like, come on, Joe, and, you know, come on, Will, no.
Hey! Right then.
Now we've successfully embarrassed Harriet. And she'll
never we have. But you know what's quite apt? To go into an ad break with a plug.
Yeah.
Right? So should we do that then?
Yeah.
All right then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ooh, I love those ads. They're awesome, weren't they? Luce, before we go on to the social media stuff, right, you know what we haven't had much of recently?
What?
Dogs. Dumdy dogs. Dumdy mogs.
Yep.
And I just think, being as we've got this storyline, trying out new dogs, because I'm not a dog person, I've always thought of a dog being kind of like head on. Like you see the front.
But what you mean, Linda's obsession with its arse?
Yes. Thing. Shouldn't we get our listeners actually to take pictures of the you know, the business end of their dogs and send them in?
Roy, I think there are specialist sites on the internet that deal with that kind of thing.
It's obviously very important, though.
We're going to end up on the dark web. We'll be taken off.
Well, I just think it could be quite an interesting thing for people to have a look at.
The place to come and look at a dog's arse. Yes,
well, anyway. If it's good enough for Linda Snell, I don't see why we need to turn our nose up at it.
Yes, okay.
All right, then. So, why don't you hit us with some tweets?
Oedipus Cat said, I don't know why Pat can't find Olwyn. She should just follow the cough. Barefoot Mower said, Freddie's having such a dramatic time and yet I still have no interest in the little tosser. Leonard Odyssean said, thank you, the Archer's editor, for listening to my complaint that there were too few dogs in Ambridge, but I think you've overdone it. There's bloody dogs everywhere now. Sarah Mattox said, personally, I think Lily would be improved immensely with some Class A drugs. And tweet of the week, this is very rude, Goddess Diva said, is eating Silmarillion a Pornhub category? Oh, yes, a rude one.
Oh, this has been a good one, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah. I think it's time for us to tell people that they can get their Dum De Dum merch at our shop now.
Yes.
Right. So we've got a brand new spankly shop thing.
And I was supposed to plug this last week and I forgot.
You forgot, but it's all right. It wasn't quite ready then. But if you go to dumdydum.com/shop, you can buy your dumdydum merch. T-shirts, mugs, and all manner of things that have some of your funny, witty sayings on.
Yeah.
So go there, buy it, and it helps keep the lights on in Dumdydum land. Dumdydum.com, go there, folks. It's got a forum. Go and join in with our forum, and you can talk about Annabelle Dowler, Becky Wright, or Anya. You can talk about the wonderful goings-on, which is the world of Archer's Land that we all love. Now, Lucy, mm-hmm. If somebody doesn't want to buy a mug,
yes,
or a T-shirt,
yes,
and they don't want to buy any of our merch, how else could they possibly help support our wonderful endeavour?
They can sponsor us on patreon.com.
You're so English.
Why? What am I supposed to say? .com, am I supposed to say?
Whatever. Patreon.com, go there and you can sponsor us for $2 per show. And you get extra content with my interviews, which I've done with the wonderful actors. What else do we say at the end of the show? We talk about following us on the socials. You can follow us on Twitter, where we are at DumDDum. Follow me, where I'm at Royfield, and you are at
Lucy V. Freeman.
And I think we should go around the table. And how do people follow you on Twitter if they need to?
They can follow me at Shambridges or at Glambridges.
Hey. At Annabelle Dowler. I'm not on Twitter.
At Anya Savinsky.
And you're big on the Instas, aren't you?
On the Instas?
Yes.
Oh, Instagram is just my name as well. Yes, right. I love Instagram. Cool. I like the visual.
All right, and of course you can follow the Yokel Bear and Millie Bell and Witherspoon Three Ring Circus on Facebook.
If you want to follow Derek...
Oh,
I would keep a big distance. He's on Greavesy17.
Oh, yes. And also, can I do a plug for my Just Giving page?
Yes.
You can find I'm www.justgiving.com/fundraising/Becky's Walk for Sepsis. So please do have a look. There's more details on there. And also you can donate by text. You can see everything on there. And also details if you want to come and join me on the walk. All right. I'd love your support. Thank you.
And what I've completely forgotten to say is one of the most vital ways that the show is actually created is by you calling in via SpeakPipe. So go onto our website and you can hit the SpeakPipe button and you can pose a question to us or maybe give us one of your own plot predictions. Or if you don't have an internet-enabled device that works, you can call us on 0203 031 31005 to leave us a message on our gubbins. And that... people, I think, is just about that. Other than just to say, right, and I'm overly emotional and sentimental at the best of times, but isn't she really good? Isn't she really good? And was that a wonderful, wonderful monologue? And if you haven't listened to it already, Our Loose was on Radio 4 Extra just on Friday with the lovely Angela Barnes, who's a great fan and stalwart of Dumdydum. And it's a programme called Podcast Radio Hour. And Angela is a celebrity fan of Dumdydum, and she picked us as her favourite podcast. And so Loose went in, and they had a wonderful conversation, and I got all proper emosh. And what was lovely about what I realised that what we've created here is, yes, we love the Archers, and I was proper made up when I first met you, Annabelle. I ain't going to bullshit you. I was like, you know, and the fact that you even knew about this remix thing that I'd actually done, and you know, speaking to you, Becky, you know, in that week when we did the show, yeah. You know, I really felt like we were pals and whatever. And as for you, enough said, you know, the better and whatever. I flirted outrageously with you. I was so unprofessional and whatever. But what this thing has allowed me to do is actually connect...
With a lot of women.
No. Connect...
This is your internet dating, yeah. Isn't it?
Stop it.
Swipe
it's allowed
left.
Me to
Swipe
connect
left.
With the one constant... in my life, other than my family, since the age of 14, which has been the Archers. And then what we've done together is to create a wonderful community. And that's what I really realised when we played that episode, on Radio 4 Extra. And specifically, it was people talking about loss. And Becky's performance was so amazing, so amazing. You know, I talked about when... And it made me remember when my uncle died in front of me. I know similar things for you with your father and stuff. And... it's a wonderful safe space where we can love this programme, meet some of the actors, and it's relevant to our life. So thank you for being part
of
the Dumpty Dum community.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
And thank you for coming along today. And give everybody a round of applause for the actors.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.